Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Let's go. Final hour of the program.
Oh, I lost so much money tonight. Oh, my goodness.
There he is. Is it confessional or
no, you see, we were going to go to Vegas. We were going to go to Vegas, me and my fraternity brothers. We were going to get into Vegas on Thursday. And, you know, obviously when you get to Vegas, you want to gamble. And I told the guys Arizona's playing Stanford. We were going to bet all our money on Arizona because that's what we do. We all went to Arizona. They were 11-point favorite. They're up by almost 30 points now with a minute left in the game. We would have won a boatload of money on Arizona. Instead, we made no bet on it whatsoever. So.
Plenty of places to still make your wager happen.
I know, but it's not the same thing when you're there with your buddies. And
doesn't mean you
there.
Still don't do it.
Nah, it's not the same thing. Come on now.
You guys can't get on a Zoom call, you and Chucklehead Billy and whatever their names
are. When Thumper backed out, that was a problem, you know?
What was his excuse?
I don't know. He said his kid was getting married or something.
Oh, well, shows how close you are that you weren't invited to that part of the festivities. That's already spanned. You're in for Jason Smith. I'm Mike Harmon, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here on Fox Sports Radio. Final NBA game of the night just finished. 121-117, your final in overtime. Those pesky Indiana Pacers with another W here, Arnie.
That's amazing. You know, they're making a little run. The Laker game's going to put them over the top.
All of a sudden, they get propelled to like a 9-game winning streak like the Rockets did at that one point.
What does Golden State now? We talked about this earlier. 1-5. Everybody talking about, Klay Thompson and, you know, what it was like since he's come back for them. I think they're going to be just fine. They're just going to hit a little bit of a speed bump here, but they'll be just fine when it's all said and done.
Long season. You got to find your rotations, and obviously still trying to find his jump shot with consistency. Just 6 of 17 on the night, 0 for 7 from three-point range. Combine his effort with Jordan Poole, a guy who was making major strides while Thompson was out, and I tie them together purposefully here for that reason. 25 minutes played off the bench, 1 of 7 from the field, 0 of 5 from three-point range. So a guy
Clay would be a good addition to the Lakers, would he not, after the year or what?
Look at you. I love it. Shuffling it up and trying to find some chaos here. No, a lot of activity, I'm sure. More bluster than reality, like most trade.
Why is that more bluster? He's got how many more years he has left on that contract, right? They're certainly not going to give him the max. At least I don't think they are. And I would think that the Lakers would be high on his list to go somewhere if they weren't going to keep him up there.
Yeah, it was more the, all right, do you have the assets to go and swing a move for him or the cap space?
No, you don't have to trade for him.
On the room that you have. That's the other, like, that's the thing, right? Assets to try to make moves now, right? And that's what I was talking about, where there's more bluster and rumor, conjecture, speculation, because anybody can claim they have a source, Arnie.
Right.
You can put a hat on and claim that the guy you're looking at in the mirror in a hat is now a source of great NBA information, right? You put the little tag in it that says press, and all of a sudden, wow, that guy's my insider. And who could prove you wrong? Not a damn soul.
No, but
everybody can categorically deny it and say this is absolutely asinine,
right?
But they can't disprove it. I mean, how many guys have done that? How many rumors do you think that have started through the years that are just nothing, that are made up?
Well, how many people you think would have want Klay Thompson for the next 2 years? He's owed $83 million for the next 2 years.
Yeah, I got to see what he does the rest of the season.
$83 million. I don't think I have to see that. I don't think I want to give him $40 and $43 million. I think
it depends where I'm at, right? Like we were talking about a team that would be willing to take on Russell Westbrook's contract, right? If the Lakers were able to make a trade, what could they get of discernible assets in return? You know, and who wants to take that on? It's going to be a very small number of teams, perhaps none. But just for sake of argument, maybe a team that isn't winning, but could use the superstar, use a little bit of juice, and just, you know, figure that eventually that contract expires and they're free and clear and they move forward. You know, many motivations for different ownership groups as to how they proceed, certainly. But, you know, in terms of who would want him, if he's healthy and he shows out the rest of the year, then yeah, he gets back into the mix. Obviously, you come with some trepidation.
Yeah, well,
based
Golden
on the injury
State, yeah.
history.
Golden State would keep him the final 2 years anyway, whether he's worth it or not. They're not going to go and ship him around, especially if somebody in the division. But it is going to be interesting to see after the 2 years is up, you know, he'll be an unrestricted free agent. No way Golden State's going to give him any max contract or close to it. I'm going to be curious to see what will end up after that. But for now, he's fine up there. They'll be fine with him. He'll work his way back into playing shape.
Yeah, as you're wont to say, the show is tonight.
The show is tonight. That's right.
32-12 Golden State for Indiana. Hey, another win. They had seven guys in double figures tonight, all five starters getting to that point. So that is your final NBA game of the night. As we get closer to the weekend, though, Arnie, obviously we're paying attention to all the noise, all the stories and injury reports and everything coming out of each of these games. And we'll get into them in earnest here coming up in about 10 minutes from now. But I like this plan by the Titans trying to stop the Bengals and the, you know, proverbial 12th man from finding their way in. But tickets on the secondary market, obviously, you know, for a lot of folks, no matter how much you love a team, if you could pay for half of your season ticket package with one game, you do it. That's why you see some of these crazy configurations in stadiums. You go, why are there so many fans of an opposing
right.
team? It's like, well, because they could sell, like in Chicago, right? You could sell your Packers tickets when they come to town for a premium and pay for like three of your other games if you were so inclined to do so, particularly if it's going to be like 35 below zero with the wind chill. Then maybe you'll let someone else go have that fun, and you sit home in the comfort of your lazy boy with beers at your size. But now they've got a deal where they're going through the process of putting a freeze and a hold on the ability to transfer these tickets.
Really? Really?
So...
You know, I got to tell you just a couple of things. First of all, I can understand Bears fans actually selling it to Packer fans because, you know, there's a lot of Packer fans down there in the Chicago area. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they want to go to the game. But you're talking about something, you know, coming from another state, Cincinnati, going down to Tennessee, you know, and really how much in demand, how much money are you going to make selling it to the Cincinnati fans? It doesn't seem like it's going to be that much of a markup price up there. You know, one time before I got married, my wife put in her name for the NBA All-Star Game and the NBA Slam Dunk Contest. Mm-hmm. And she won the lottery, and she got the tickets for the All-Star Game and the Slam Dunk Contest. Everything was in Phoenix that year before we got married. And she said to me, what do you want to do? You want to go to the game or sell them? I said, how much can we get if we sold them? She goes, about $10,000. And it will help us start our life together. I go, guess who's going to watch the game at the bar? That's going to be us, because we're going to be selling those tickets. And we did. That's a lot of money. So I never, you know, rip on people that can make that type of money. But I just don't think that that's the type of markup you're seeing with the Cincinnati-Tennessee game.
No, but you're still trying to keep it a home game as best you can.
Of course you
and,
do.
And,
yeah,
and even if it's, you know, a couple hundred bucks multiplied by 2, 4, whatever multiple you have there in terms of your seat allotment, that adds up. So what they did was anything through the NFL partner of Ticketmaster, they would restrict the transfer of tickets to playoff games until 24 hours before kickoff.
Wow.
Thereby,
wow.
you know, trying to have people, you know, only the truly committed, you know, that have already decided, well, travel, whatever, regardless of the price, we're already going, you know, that kind of thing. So maybe you siphon some of that off. Get in right now is about $210.
That's not too bad at all.
No, that's not for a playoff game? No.
Yeah.
No, not at all. You look at it by way of contrast, go to the Packers game. Get in is only $100.
That's
going to be cold as hell. But yeah,
you're right about that. Yeah, it's cold as hell.
Yeah, divisional round, and obviously you add in the service charges and things of that nature. $159 down in Tampa is the lowest for an upper level.
I'll give you another story. I'm sorry to interrupt, Mike, but I'll give you another story. I'm not sorry to interrupt, but I'll give you another story.
You are sorry. Well, you should be.
When I was just a kid, you know, I was like 12 years old. My dad and I were eating at McDonald's. It was a rainy day in Los Angeles. It was kind of early, too, for some. We might have been there for breakfast. I don't know. But that was a big thing for us. And I look over at the table next to us, and there's a guy with his two kids and his wife. And he's holding up like 6 tickets to the Rams-Vikings playoff game. And I turn to him like the big mouth that I am. And I say, hey, which two are for me? Me and my dad here. And he just, son of a gun, if the guy doesn't peel off 2 tickets and hands me 2 tickets to the game for me and my dad to go on a rainy day. I think it was like 14-7 final or something like that,
wow.
if I remember correctly. But I'll never forget that. I'm like, holy cow, are you serious, mister? And that stuck with me to this day. We're talking 40 years ago, and I remember the guy giving us 2 tickets to see a game like that. I think it was 14-7. Somebody should look that up for me, you know?
Well, we'll have to check in with our archivist here.
Yeah.
If you have any of your old ticket stubs, you can always throw them in a box and send them my way.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a big memorabilia clown, and clutter is the name of the game. I did point out yesterday, for those thinking about coming out to Los Angeles for the Super Bowl, get in right now. Arnie, you want to take a guess?
Just to get in right now.
The lowest price.
Gonna say
I checked a couple of sites.
3,000, 4,000?
7,100 plus fees.
So 7,000. I was going to maybe go up.
I paid a little over 3,000 for what ended up being 40 yard line seats at the Packers Steelers game when Aaron Rodgers won his only Super Bowl.
No, I don't know.
No, I had made a promise to a – no, well, it was one of those. I went into the – I sold a couple of pieces of memorabilia to pay for the tickets.
Well, there you go. Be honest, would you pay more for tickets to a concert or a sporting event?
Well, that was a once-in-a-lifetime, I thought. Yeah. First one at Jerry's Palace. Actually flew out to Dallas, and on my flight, I was in line getting on the plane with Slash.
Oh,
so
really?
It spoiled the surprise of what was going to be going on at halftime, because it was the Black Eyed Peas and they played Sweet Child of Mine, which I knew Fergie had done iterations with him
before.
But no, that was kind of cool. Like first thing in the morning, it's like, hey, what's going on? But the idea was I watched tickets the whole time, and it ties to the flipping. There was such a market that was really odd, right? Because you got the two storied franchises, the well-traveled fans, right? Steelers and Packer fans, notorious for just showing up everywhere and gobbling up seats. Add to that ice storms, which actually didn't help the ticket market at all, if you could believe that. So game day, I'm doing my radio show, and we go into the studio there in Dallas, and one of the desks had 3 monitors. I'm like, that's mine. And I brought up all the local ticket brokers, and I'm watching, and it's all those end zone seats that ended up being part of the lawsuits. Really all that was available. And
right,
I'm watching,
right.
And I'm like, I'm not doing that, right? Because I was going to take my ex's dad to the game, and so I'm like, no, we're getting good seats. You know, this is a thank you for, you know,
you are
a
big shot.
Done.
Yeah,
no, it was good, but we ended up getting, like, all of a sudden these tickets flashed up at about the same price, and they were 40 yard line seats. And I couldn't, you know, I had the credit card information in on immediately, and boom, bought them. And call the guy at a commercial break, figure out where I'm going to pick up the tickets. We go outside Mavericks, you know, arena, and the guy rolls up and he's got two envelopes in his hands. He's got one that has my tickets and the other saying, hey, I can give you an extra 1,000 a ticket because demand's shooting. I looked at him. I go, if I had made a promise that we were going to the game, I would have added 2 grand to my bank account.
Tell me somebody's
like
not offered you money for a press pass that you've had around your neck for the Super Bowl. People have said, hey, 5,000 right now, cash, baby. I go, what, are you going to write me a check? Besides, you're not getting my press pass, so forget about it, you know?
Well, I would love to see the special effects effort to look like the stinking genius.
Yeah.
He's Arnie Spanier in for Jason Smith tonight. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here on Fox Sports Radio. Hey, you're dealing with a dead battery? You can head over to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like free battery testing and free battery charging. The free battery testing can help you know if you need a new battery or not. And if you do happen to need a new replacement battery, they can help with that too. They've got reliable replacement batteries starting at at just $79.99, and they're the only place you can find proven tough Duralast batteries. So next time that you're having battery trouble, head to AutoZone, your battery solution in America's number one battery destination. Coming up next, you know, because our Ernie's getting a little twitchy, we'll actually talk about the games and the lines and all of that fun. And we'll start with the Bengals and Titans. And we'll do it next year on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Mike check.
If you want exclusive insight from the biggest names in the sports game, what's good? This is national champion and former pro baller Chris Johnson. And let me tell you a little bit about my new series, KJ Live.
KJ Live is the only show featuring me going one-on-one with the brightest basketball minds on the planet to get the real.
And when I say real, I mean that real. I got legendary Hall of Famers, elite coaches, and the top basketball insiders bringing you a unique perspective on all things hoops culture that you will not find anywhere else.
To make your next move your best move.
And tap in with me on KJ Live, wherever you get your podcast from.
Welcome back in. It's Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Jason Smith out tonight. You can send him a note at How About a Fresca. Ask him how he's feeling, particularly after the Knicks lose. You know, things of that nature.
Yeah.
In for him tonight, Arnie Spanier, stinking genius one, where you find him on Twitter.
Suck it up. Coop gave me that score on December 26th, 1977. The Vikings beat the Rams 14-7 in Los Angeles. I remember it was a miserable raining game. My dad put up his umbrella, and the guy goes, no, guys, no umbrellas. You got to sit here in the rain. You can't put up your umbrella. So we just sat there getting drenched and watched the Rams lose 14-7 in that one.
One of those things, you know, be an enterprising sort. If there's rain in the forecast, do what you do before you go to a theme park to ride the water rides or any of that stuff. Buy a bunch of those cheap-ass ponchos.
Yeah, there you go.
$1.99. Exactly. Hey, if nothing else, you're going to get a bunch of free beers the rest of the day.
It's just
very
funny
small investment for you.
It's just funny how things we remember from so long ago. Stan, that was 1977, and I still gave you the final score of the game, the weather, where we're sitting, me and my dad.
Yeah, it's borderline diseased.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that where you met Keg or Keish?
No, I was just 14 years old back then, my friend. But it stands out. That was a lot of fun.
No, it's those things that mean so much, though, right?
Oh, absolutely. Like
not to get deep into the weeds on, you know, where we're at in school systems and everybody that's got a kid at any level or grandkid, niece, nephew, you've heard some of the horror stories, you know, in terms of trying to cobble together a full week of classes and attendance and everything else. I just remember, you know, for us, the big deal was if you got your perfect attendance, you always got this form to fill out, and you could pick several sets of White Sox tickets. So for my brothers and I, as well as getting a bunch of A's. So we were really motivated to do well in classes and also to show up. Probably had some days where maybe in the Chicago winter we were a little sicker than we should have been coming to school, but you know, we weren't the only ones coughing and
good for you,
you know, and doing all
I
that.
Love it.
But what we spent the summers at Comiskey Park as a result. Right? Here's you would always await the mail call. It's like, here it came. And it's like, what? Open it. And it would be the stack of tickets from the perfect attendance.
Well, they were giving away tickets to go see the White Sox. Come on.
You know what? Go to hell.
You could find them on the floor.
I'm sure plenty of teams had to do the same thing. But you know what? It was a nice, heartwarming thing of how my brothers and my uncle and my dad, we bonded together. And you just soiled it. That's what you do, Spanier. You come in here. I try to do a positive thing. Here's a little family bonding. Here's a little way to make a little scratch by selling, you know, extra ponchos that you smuggle in. No, you take a baseball bat to the whole damn thing.
Did you get a nosebleed from those seats up there, too? What are the worst seats up there, you know?
No. Actually, you know what? I will say this, and we'll get into the NFL here momentarily. What they did when they built the new facility is going to be Camden Yards,
right?
That design. So they built the multi-purpose facility with the idea of, all right, concerts and blah, blah, blah. And eventually, they've retrofitted it, it's a nice ballpark now. I can understand first couple of years, folks would be like, wow, it's so steep and absurd.
Yes, exactly. No, I've been there.
Well, maybe you go again.
Once enough.
All right. Well, you know what? That's not the way to go through life. You know what? You can't do anything off a sample size of one, Arnie.
Yeah, I've tried sushi only once. That's all I need to. I'm ready to move on.
Wow. Now you're insulting the food of an entire culture. Just broad strokes from you, Spaniard.
Let's get to some NFL. Let's do it, baby.
Let's do it. All right, let's knock it out. We'll get to Gascon in a moment. The Cincinnati Bengals on the road here at Tennessee. Tennessee, the number one seed, even though they missed Derrick Henry for one half a season. Right. Unbelievable, the pace that he was on. We had a good chance to talk with Eric Dickerson a little bit. He's got his new book coming out. And, you know, talking about running backs, we got into Cam Akers a little bit. But I've heard him in other interviews talk about, you know, Derrick Henry. It's like, well, it'd be interesting if he can get towards my record, but obviously you don't want anybody taking your record. So, but an absolute beast, and we weren't expecting him back, but now he comes into the fray. The Titans, 3.5-point favorites, 47.5 is your total. What are you thinking here, Arnie?
Out of the four games this weekend, if you were going to do a confidence pool, this is the one game I have not only the least confidence in on the side, the same thing on the over-under totals also. I don't know if it's going to be a 23-20 grind-them-out game where the Titans are going to make mistakes and maybe Cincinnati doesn't have their offense going. Titans maybe try to get their running game going with Derrick Henry. I don't know how well he's going to show up after, like you said, missing half the year. Is the Bengals offense, is Joe Burrows? I seriously doubt he's going to be putting up those 400 and 500 yard games against this defense. This is the, out of, like I said, out of the four games, this is the least confidence I am about them. I know a lot of people are taking Cincinnati to win this game. If anything, I'm going to take Cincinnati plus the 3.5 points to keep it close. Maybe it comes down to a field goal. I just can't trust the Titans. And what happens if they try to get Derrick Henry off on his game and it's not working out? I think it probably will, but what happens if it's not? Then who knows if Cincinnati doesn't pull off the upset. Plus, Cincinnati's offensive unit is just unbelievable. You know, sometimes I feel like it's going to be a 23-20 game, or maybe it's going to be a shootout where you'll see it's going to be like 31-30. I think I'm going to take the points plus the 3.5. As for the over-under, I'll probably lean toward the over, but this is going to be a tough one. You can flip a coin on any of the four, the over-under or the side on this one.
Yeah, I look at it, and this is one, and we talked about it a little bit earlier in terms of, you know, making your bones. Still a lot of folks wondering what exactly Ryan Tannehill is.
Right.
Right? Plays well,
you
makes
worry,
some big
then,
plays.
What's Burrow, too, then, if you're going right? to worry what Tannehill is?
Well, but Burrow, you at least, you know, you look at him winging it around the yard, and you see, you know, hey, the Joe Cool or whatever, everybody wants to steal that name from Joe Montana. You know, if you have ideas and you want to do a poll question, you know, we can do that later. But you at least know he's going to wing it to Ja'Marr Chase. He's said as much, right? Well, I know he's out there. What the blank? Just throw it up and let him go make a play. You got T. Higgins. You got Tyler Boyd. You
Mixon,
got Uzama,
one of the most underrated running backs in the NFL.
Right, and Mixon the second half of the season really pushed. So you had everything working. So you've seen the explosiveness, and you've seen the devil may care kind of attitude from Joe Burrow in terms of putting the ball up in for play. You know, when you look at Ryan Tannehill, you know, the old pejorative of game manager sometimes comes into effect. Why? Because Henry has been such a workhorse right. throughout the year, right? You look at him through his 8 games that he played, he had 219 rushing attempts. 10 touchdowns, 937 yards. But get this, 4.3 yards per carry. Dante Foreman, once upon a time, a Houston right. Texan, a guy that, you know, had some flashes but never really put it all together. He averaged 4.3 yards per carry in 9 games, 3 starts, 133 carries, 566 yards. Dontrell Hilliard, 8 games played, 5 starts, 56 carries, 350, an average of 6.3. So the run game did not suffer. As much as we love Derrick Henry, it's a different mentality, right? And probably, you know, a very different scheme that you put together.
But that could be a little misleading because in Derrick Henry's case, teams are keying on the run game, and he's still able to do that. Teams didn't key on the run game.
But if you're still averaging 4.3 yards per carry.
You're right.
You're still getting production. Right. Ryan Tannehill completing 67% of his pass attempts. Now only a 1.5 to 1 TD to interception ratio, which normally would get you more derision and finger wagging. But when you become the number one seed, that kind of goes out the window, right? AJ Brown missed a bunch of time. Julio Jones has had trouble staying on the field. And that's really where it goes to me is, all right, are both of these guys going to be able to bring their A game? Because we saw even AJ Brown, as he rounded back into shape, there were a couple balls where like, all right, that's a catch he'd make, you know, 99.8 out of 100. What timing, you know, game situation, footsteps, whatever he's missing. And for Julio Jones, you know, he finally had that, you know, look at what his season was. You know, he finished the year with 31 catches, 434, and a single touchdown.
I was going to say, I think the Titans actually, even though they're the number one seed, has more pressure on them than the Kansas City Chiefs, for crying out loud. You know, the way they finished the year, and they had a good run. They did lose that last game, I think, to Arizona. But this is a great matchup for them, too. I mean, I give Cincinnati all the credit in the world for beating Las Vegas, but this is a big step up from Vegas. There's no doubt about that.
Big step up in class, and say what you will about the Belichick trees and whatever else. Mike Vrabel's gone on to become one hell of a coach. And this squad, after losing Henry, there were moments where it looked like it was all going to fall off the rails, yet they emerged number one in what was the crazy set of circumstances. Bengals beat the Raiders. Raiders did everything they could to shoot themselves in the foot.
I thought there was a stat that Vrabel is 8-0 against the spread, or 8-0 straight up, when he's had more than 8 or 9 days to prepare for a game. So use that for what it's worth.
There you go. Trying to find all the angles. That's what he does, as he'll make his official picks for all of this.
Bernie Fratto told me that. I'll have to ask him.
Yeah, Bernie was actually chiming in with me a little bit earlier, the Rick Bucher conversation we were having as far as money goes. So you're taking the get back into that and segue into that in a second. So you're going to take the Bengals with the points?
I'm going to take the Bengals. Yeah, I'm taking the Bengals plus the 3.5. I'll probably lean toward the over, thinking that, you know, maybe Cincinnati, maybe their offense does show up. And I'm not so sure that their defense is going to be able to stop the Titans to a low-scoring number there. So I probably go with the over, but I'm going to take the 3.5. Who knows if Cincinnati didn't even pull off the upset, but I like the points in that one. I mean, getting the 3 in the hook when it's over the field goal, I'll take the points.
Always talk about the key numbers, as we do with Todd Furman, we do with Bernie Fratto, our friends in Vegas, right? Your 3s, your 7s, your 10s, etc. I will take Tennessee to win and to cover the number. I'm going to take them to win outright. And I don't know what Derrick Henry's going to be, right? I'll go off of what.
His over-under is on yardage running game.
That's a good question. I've not delved into prop bets just yet.
I'll see if I can find that.
Yeah, we'll work on that one. But the point Bernie was making, and you know, part of the process when you start looking at futures bets is, you know, before the season, you're going to take a lot of money on a team, so their odds may not shuffle as much. Part of that is reflective of liability that's already out there. So Lakers are still going to seem, you know, like a big favorite. That's not necessarily sentiment, but just where the money has been laid. For those, you know, trying to connect the dots as to how that all works.
Oh, I feel this is going to be a good betting weekend, too. I got a feeling that San Francisco-Green Bay game is going to get more bets on that one than any of the three games this weekend.
Is that the game you...
I think Green Bay is going to kick the crap out of him, to be honest with you.
Look at that. There's the deep-hitting analysis. He'll continue that in a moment. He's Arnie Spann. You're in for Jason Smith at Stinkin' Genius 1 on Twitter. That's where he also lays up his picks to tell you how he was. Like tonight, when he told you of the bet he should have been making if he was hanging out with all his jackass buddies, and instead of taking all the opportunities that are now there in the online world or picking up a phone and, you know, phoning a friend, he... groused about, wow, I should have been rich.
Should have been super rich.
That's too bad, Arnie. You know, the one that got away. Add that to the back of that chapter of your book.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, welcome back in. Mike Harmon alongside Arnie Spanier, The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here on Fox Sports Radio. Arnie, it's been a pleasure tormenting you
for
the better part
of
4 hours and catching up a
bit. Quick show.
It moves really fast, and obviously so much swirling around our great sporting universe. We didn't really even do the deep dives of the coaching carousel. Why? Because what's changed? Nothing. Rumor, conjecture, speculation, and updates that we got from David Gascon about who interviewed today. Right now, it's
tons
the
of
spinning wheel.
Though.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many, right? It's like the cable television when one movie is ending and the other's starting, and they reduce it to either the left or right bottom of your screen, and it starts scrolling really. That's kind of what we're doing with these job right. openings as they sit here.
I'll predict the Giants will hire Flores, the ex-Miami coach. That's where he'll end up, and part of me wants to say somehow Harbaugh will end up with the Raiders, though that's such a long shot right now.
That one's a curiosity to me, right? All the recruiting stuff, contract talk, of where that may be seated, the fact that they hired the defensive line coach away from Notre Dame. Mike Elston, little moves like that, not to mention he's been one of the most vocal advocates of the entire NIL system. And there's been multiple reports of some crazy money that's being made by players in the program, the quarterbacks and everything else. So it strikes me as it would take a lot, I think, to move him. But, you know, you never say never if the offer's crazy enough. The other part is to go to Vegas. Right, you got rid of Mayock, who I think got screwed in all this. Because was he really the guy getting to build and evaluate the team?
No,
it was John Gruden.
A decent job, but it's still, though, he was a Gruden guy, though.
Right, but either way, right, you gave Gruden control. You hired Mayock. In theory, you should be able to separate the two to a degree, yes? Especially the way the second half performed. Yeah, players flat out say it, and this is a nod to Bisaccia as well, because everybody's
would you hire him? Would you bring him back?
I don't know if you – where's the rock star, I guess, Arnie, when it comes
– rock stars, you made the playoffs.
Right, but my point is, I guess, moving forward, if you're telling me I got him, is there a coach out there that excites you more than him? You know, does Dan Quinn move the needle for you?
I don't know.
You mentioned Harbaugh. Well, you still have to have a GM there. I don't think Mark Davis is going to give another coach that kind of control like he did for Gruden. And I would be shocked, given what happened in San Francisco with Harbaugh and Balke, that he would sign up necessarily without a bunch of control. Right? To run things at Michigan his way.
Right, and you want to be able to have the quarterback that you want, and is Derek Carr the quarterback that he wants?
Right. Maybe there's all sorts of moves that then cycle out of that into the silly season of Wilson and Rodgers and whatever else. But I mentioned Rodgers, 5.5-point favorites, 47 your total in this one,
yeah,
Arnie.
Yeah.
You said it succinctly, maybe crudely and disrespectfully to your San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah.
But you were very abrupt and to the point.
San Francisco very lucky to get that victory over Dallas. I think Dallas with the 14 penalties just handed it to them to get the victory. Without those 14 penalties.
Hey, you beat who's on the schedule.
I understand that without the 14 penalties, I don't think they even get by Dallas. Look, first of all, defensively, they're a good team to stop the Packer offense. I don't think so. I think the Packers are going to be able to do what they want against them. They've had the bye week. San Francisco going up to Green Bay. The weather's going to be crappy. Aaron Rodgers has a lot to prove. Everything's pointing to the Packers. I don't think there's one thing I like that says, yeah, you got to go with San Francisco. Plus, they're banged up. I just love Green Bay to win by more than a touchdown.
Yeah, that's the biggest question for me is what's even though they're cleared, how healthy are Bosa, Warner, and when you look at Garoppolo, you know, myriad injuries popping up. San Francisco, a team that did give up just 21.5 points per game during the season. Look, this is about the run game, right? Can you spring Deebo Samuel, who's been amazing? Brandon Ayuk's got to come up with a couple of plays. Johnson as well, and obviously Elijah Mitchell in the backfield, a wonderful find after Mostert went down. Can you make a couple of plays? Because I think they can hang. Right, I picked them to go to the Super Bowl before the season, thinking they stay healthy. Obviously, right. You got George Kittle as well. Well, I went.
They were so banged up the year.
Well,
before,
but here's
though,
the thing. Yeah, that Super Bowl team, they get banged up, and most guys coming back. And looking at the squad, and also not going chalk. Like one of the things I hate is going chalk. And I kind of did it on the other side because a lot of folks started picking, you know, popular picks for popular people, and that I picked Kansas City to get back out of, you know, where most folks are like, they've been there too often, so now it's going to flip. Some other team's going to upend them. And then after 6 weeks, you know, there was, I think I was the last guy left on that bandwagon, Arnie, other than Nick Wright over at FS1.
Yeah, I was off that bandwagon also, so I was ready to go ahead and write them off. They didn't get the number one seed, but that's okay. If we're going to talk about that one, then I love the Bills. I'm not getting enough points. A lot of respect for Buffalo. Kansas City, a 1.5-point favorite. If this was on a neutral site, they'd say the Bills would probably be about a 2-point favorite, maybe even get up to 3. A lot of money would be coming in on them. I like Buffalo. They're playing better football. I'm still not sure what to get from that Kansas City offense. I think the Bills' defense is playing good also. And look how great Allen looked at last week. So,
no, he's been a beast.
Yeah, give me
and
Buffalo.
They got the last month, Devin Singletary. That's it. Because the Bills are the team. Like, they become the adopted team of my brothers and I. One, because they have Mitchell Trubisky riding there. Two, I was a big Josh Allen backer when he first came out, thinking that with some time that he was going to be a stud. So, not often I pat myself on the back and say,
yes,
I hate
do.
To tell you. No, well, I mean, I don't have reach. I don't have the dexterity I did as a younger man. So sometimes it's difficult. But, yeah, I if I'm just picking the game, I'm picking Buffalo to win. But I picked Kansas City before the year. That's on the sheet. That's where it stays. All right, last story I wanted to do with you really quick here, though, Arnie. The Rays were looking into a split world where half their games were going to be played in Montreal. You look at the ownership group there since 2005. Sternberg trying to figure out a way to generate some revenue. You got Wander Franco, all this excitement. And Major League Baseball told them to beat it today.
Yeah, that's true. But then I'm here because, I mean, can you imagine? I'm only like an hour and 10 minutes away from Montreal. I would have loved to go see the game and the Yankees coming up and all that. I thought it was a viable option. I'm surprised that the commissioner could just say to them, no, you're not going to be able to do it. I want to get the hell out of Tampa as fast as possible if I'm the owner. Montreal, very viable. Obviously, they want to go ahead and use that for an expansion maybe franchise, but it's not working in Tampa. You see the attendance. I got to go in a different direction once I can. I may have to get my lawyers involved.
I've been there a bunch. It's a terrible stadium. They need to shift. So appreciate you, Arnie.
It's been a lot of fun, my friend.
Ben Maller is coming up next here on Fox Sports Radio, taking
Big
you into
Ben.
The night as he does.
See ya.
Breaking down everything NFL and Lakers drama, no doubt. See y'all.